1270 The Buzz. 1270 The Buzz welcomes you to Broadview, a weekly radio show that looks into the issues here in Northern Nevada, hot topics of the week, a senior moment or two, and special guests. Phone lines are open now at 823-1920. Here is your host, Jay Davis.
And hello to you. Welcome to another Saturday here in Northern Nevada and another edition of Broadview. Please write down that number. We'd love for you to chime in with your feelings and your opinions. 823-1920 for Broadview. And welcome to my co-host, JP. Hey, JP.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm good.
He's got his attitude on. I can see it in his eyes.
A little bit of jet lag since I just came back from Michigan.
That's right. And then we just found out about the Volt. They're going to stop producing that, which we talked to Glenda about before she left last week.
Yes.
Was it snowy? Did you run into a snowstorm back
there? You know what? We seemed to skirt it all the way. The snow came into Reno after we left, and it's followed us across the country, and it got there to Michigan before we got there, so no.
Meant to be.
Meant to be.
Fantastic. And you can catch all of JP's attitude at jpattitude.com. And his common sense, which we'll have coming up later on this hour. What is it about today?
In which I mentioned the Chevy Volt. That's how I start out, yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
And coming up today, I'm excited. You see I'm all dressed up.
Yeah. I said you kind of look like him.
Benici. Benici. Knights of Fire. Ronnie Benici performing at the El Dorado right on through April, I believe. They should keep him. Hold him over. Wonderful show, I hear. We were supposed to go last Thursday, and you know, the flu and the bug and all that going around so much. We ended up just staying home, staying cozy, but have every intention of going, and we're going to be talking with him and some of his dancers today. And all I can say is, ooh, la la.
Okay.
That's going to be
so good. We've got female dancers coming in.
Yeah.
That's a good show right there.
It's on your mind. So we'll be talking with him and hot topics of the world this week. Of course, the hot topic for us here in the U.S. is across the Midwest and South. Residents beginning to clean them up after Friday's outbreak of late winter storms. Unbelievable.
I know. How did I miss all this?
Yeah, you did.
I was in Michigan.
We went right south and then up?
We went right through Indiana right before it hit.
Unbelievable. Nonstop barrage of tornadoes roared across rural farmland, cities all day and all night. Mississippi was affected, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Virginia, West Virginia, all sustained damage. At least 28 people died, and that number is expected to rise because they really don't have the final count.
Well, some of them are in Oz, you know, and they won't be back until the dream is over.
That's right. Only an hour after one tornado tore through Maryville, Bobby Fulkerson, he's in the news. He tried to save his son's possessions. He stood on the porch on the roof, which had been moved about 12 feet by the storm. The wind was still gusting. He picked gingerly around the son's house. He nailed boards over the shattered windows. I saw him on the news to prevent further damage as his 10-year-old granddaughter poked her head out. She was at school, thank goodness, in Charleston, Indiana during the storm, so she was okay. Marysville isn't completely destroyed. The tiny town's post office and hardware store are still standing.
The post office?
The post office.
Of all the things to make it through, yeah. One thing we don't need, right?
The government, always into everything, aren't they? And main residential areas absolutely leveled. Huh. Unbelievable. Rescue workers went house to house. They were searching for survivors. Some of the residents were packing up, of course. One had a dog, another's basketball and his books. You just see what somebody will take with them when they really have a last minute. Tornado hit Marvin Trucker's home, sheared off the roof after it broke the windows. They were in one room when it hit, took a dresser over to the wall, flipped it over. Shocking scene. and duplicated everywhere. Northern Alabama, federal prison took a direct hit. That outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, homes were ripped off of their foundation. In Kentucky, the governor declared a statewide emergency. Just unbelievable stuff.
Mother Nature, you just don't know.
I swear, lots and lots of damage. 10 miles from Marysville in Henrysville, the Midwest, you know what I mean, dealing with their losses. The main street clogged with rescue vehicles, of course, blue and red lights flashing everywhere, barricades, emergency workers checking for survivors. There was a demolished school. Alicia Colvin stood in downtown Henryville with her 7-year-old son. She was a bus driver for the school district, waiting to shuttle some of the rescue workers and just shook her head about the town's combined elementary, junior, and senior high school damage. Unbelievable. She saw one vehicle, she said, inside a steel beam, was on the floor of the school. A couple of buses were turned over, twisted, literally popped off their axes.
Axles.
Just totally taken off. Yeah, and their axles. You know, taken off their axes. And we're in the gymnasium. The whole wall's gone.
Wow.
Pretty well demolished. Unknown, frustration. Oh, the shock. Thousands of others like Colvin were dealing with it as they try to piece their lives back together. Unbelievable day of weather. Destruction across the eastern U.S. Just, gosh, our hearts are with them.
Yeah.
And they've just gone through. So many of them have just gone through.
Any trailer park stories? It seems like these tornadoes always aim for the trailer parks.
Well, that's because trailers just fall apart, you know.
Right.
But thank goodness, you know, and it is in the Midwest, so much of the Midwest and the South. I remember when I lived in Florida, we had you had shelters that were in the ground. Used to be root cellars, and now that's where you went. Just like in The Wizard of Oz. You go down in the cellar, So some of them, thank goodness, they all had those because it saved their lives.
You know, I'm kind of a nerd and I like to know stuff, but I have no idea why are there not tornadoes in western states like Nevada?
It's just the weather patterns are different.
I don't
earthquakes.
Get it.
Earthquakes out here.
Earthquakes here.
You know, hurricanes in Florida and the South and around the coast.
Yeah.
Tornadoes because the storms come in and the funnel cloud hits the ground. And when it does, it swoops up everything with it. It's just the different pressures. Around the country are different. And so we have different storms. I know it. We wouldn't be prepared if all of a sudden we had a tornado here. We'd be going, oh, what? Oh, jeez. It'd be crazy.
We get some pretty good straight line winds out here, though.
Yeah, we sure do, man.
Like when we had the two fires recently.
Yeah.
But they aren't tornado level winds.
My dog was blown across the backyard. Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. So that's the main story that we're all thinking about, and our hearts are with all of them out there. Another thing going on, BP, we just heard it in the news, they reached a settlement with the Gulf oil spill victims. The U.S. Justice Department said that the settlement is not the end of the road, but it's something like, what did he say? $7.8 billion.
Yeah.
Of course, we remember the Deepwater Horizon rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico, right off of Louisiana, April in 2010. Killed 11 workers right there, spewing more than 200 million gallons of oil from an undersea well that was owned by BP. The rig owned by Transocean Ltd. sank 2 days later. Then in January 2011, a presidential commission found that the spill was caused by time-saving and money-saving decisions
by BP.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they owe $7.8
million. That's why they owe.
They've probably already put that much into that fund they had to.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah, so maybe they'll get money back out of this deal.
They actually established a $20 billion claim fund to resolve all of the claims out of court. But they've got $7.8 billion now.
Okay, so this is in addition to that $20
In addition,
billion.
Yes,
okay.
Because the fund now has already had 569,000 claims from individuals as well,
well
as
when
businesses.
There's a, when there's a fund, here. You know everybody's going to come out of the woodwork and claim a piece of the fund.
Well, yeah, get what you can, is what Mitt Romney said.
If there's one lesson I get out of that whole spill is that the Gulf of Mexico has an amazing ability to clean itself.
They absolutely
it
do.
It turned out a much less damage than we expected.
Well, yeah, Mother Nature took care of a whole lot of it.
Number one,
hard
the whole
there.
Gulf kind of swirls like a toilet. It goes clockwise, so it kind of just comes around through over South America and by Mexico and then up along the American coast and swirls it all out into the Atlantic.
And all the grasses and all the different weeds and stuff they have there in the environment.
And the
also
bacteria.
Helps filter.
Just,
yeah.
You know, up in Alaska, remember when the Valdez spilled? Mm-hmm. That's a little bit cold for the bacteria, so it didn't clean it up as well. But down in the Gulf?
Yeah. Woo! I mean,
prime territory for
there,
bacteria.
Yeah.
They
had a great time down there for Mardi Gras. People just flooded in. So they
so
are recovering.
Yeah, a lot of houses are missing, though, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about, yeah.
It's good news, though. BP's payout estimate includes what the company internally predicts, legal fees. They got all the legal fees, numerous plaintiffs and lawyers. They got to pay all of the legal fees.
Oh, of course.
So that's why it's up
to heck with the people who got hurt. Let's pay the lawyers.
7.8 million. Well, yeah, they got to get there. Yeah, they got to do all the paperwork.
7.8 billion and seven of it for the lawyers.
Crazy stuff, I'll tell you. Crazy stuff. Also, speaking in world hot topics, I saw the U.S. to Israel. Let's talk about that a little bit. Iran feeling some heat from the sanctions now.
Are they?
Yeah. And the White House is going to be meeting next Monday, a meeting with President Obama and the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's very critical.
You love saying those Middle East names,
do.
Don't you?
Netanyahu, when I know how to say them.
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu. He's expected to argue, of course, the time is running out on efforts to discourage Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. Obama may say that the Israelis can count on U.S. for support, but that they should give sanctions and diplomacy time to work through. But they've been doing this. This has been going on for how long now?
How can you...
Centuries.
Can you use diplomacy with crazy people?
Ions, it's been going on. Latest came in legislation co-authored, actually, by Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, New Jersey, of letting countries throughout the world know that we are serious about the enforcement of these sanctions, and it's already cost Iran, they're saying, in terms of its economy.
Of course, so, meanwhile, China and Russia will sell them anything they want.
And so. Turkey's
too?
On their side, yeah. The uprising in Syria going on, too. I mean, geez, so much continues. And President, of course, President Bashar Assad is Iran's friend.
It's interesting you say so much still going on. Isn't stuff been going on in the Middle East our whole lives, Jay?
Well, you know what? I never talked about it, so I don't know why. Yeah, we knew it was going on, and they were having their civil wars and everything, but it didn't feel like it was in my lap like it is now.
When I went to college in 1972, that's what we were talking about. That was what was on the front pages, was wars against Israel.
Were you worried about it, though?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah, that's what we talked about in the lounge of my dormitory.
I was only worried about my next class, which was usually music or drama.
Or acrobatics.
It didn't affect me, you know, maybe because I was young. It didn't affect me, and now I feel like it is. It's affecting my pocketbook, for one thing, which isn't the most important thing in life.
Because of gas prices.
But the war, now our own best going over to the Middle East to defend other countries.
That's the one thing that's changed, is we have young men over there dying.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, we didn't in 1972.
Yeah, I know. And then just think when the draft, they were drafting them back in the other wars.
How did we get sucked into this mess over there?
And how are we going to get sucked back in by Israel and what's going on with Iran? How are we going to get sucked in?
I say Israel, go for it. I'm more power to them if they can take out...
Well, that's not what's going to happen, though, JP.
What?
Because allies, all this world, you're my buddy, I'll help you, yeah, NATO. It's not going to just be Israel. We're going to be... Obama's going over there on Monday.
Yeah.
And say, hey, buddy, what can I do to help you?
I don't know. He doesn't seem to get along with Netanyahu.
Try to do diplomacy first, and we'll see if the sanctions work, whereas Iran could give a rat's butt Obama's sanctions, because he has his own sanctions. Look at the cost of our oil right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That has a lot to do with him. I know it. So, oil sanctions are in place, they say. Iranian economy is declining. I doubt it. They think they're in the hole now. I don't think so. But they're saying, let's not hit them now until it's necessary. I mean, that's the word. That's the word. Administration officials have gone out of their way in the last few days to emphasize that the United States is, in fact, prepared to take military action. Well, that's the last word on it.
You're going to have to sooner or later. I mean, Iranian people are cool people. I just love the whole country, but they're being led by crazy people.
Well,
right
how
now.
Do you know about
and
the
And you
whole
can't let crazy people have nuclear bombs.
Well, those crazy people ought to get Mr. Craziness out of there then.
But how do you
job.
Do that? That's what Syria's trying to do, too.
We're trying to do that over here in our own country. We're trying to get the crazies out of our own government.
Good one.
Yeah, good one.
How do you get rid of the crazies?
I don't know. Get crazier than the crazies is what I see. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I don't know what's going to happen. It's pretty sick, and I'm not liking it. Also, I just saw the Mexican drug cartel.
Yeah.
They're now over in Australia.
What?
Yeah. Mexico. They're getting sick of Mexico because they're getting pissed off over there.
They took over Mexico. Now they need a new country.
So they're moving to Australia. Cocaine seizures are up in Australia sharply, they say. Mexico... drug cartel believed to be involved in large-scale smuggling. Authorities seized about 660 pounds of cocaine. That's the drug of choice. More than $3.2 million from a yacht in Bundaberg. That's in Queensland, back in November.
How many pounds?
660 pounds.
That's a lot of cocaine.
Boy,
when they're selling it by the ounce, right?
They're having big parties over there. Yes, I mean, it's going on. Head of Mexico's cartel says he's cunning. He's small-statured, they're saying exceedingly dangerous, And he's been outlawed recently, dubbed the world's most powerful drug trafficker by the U.S. Treasury Department.
Wait a minute. Small in stature and dangerous.
Small in stature and dangerous.
Are we talking about Iran again?
We're talking about Joaquin Chapo Guzman, head of Mexico's Sinaloa cartel, I believe. Sinaloa cartel. He's very cunning, and now he's moved from Mexico to Australia.
Well, why don't they just boot him out? Don't they have...
Mexico tried to boot him out. Why didn't they just boot him out? Yeah. Why didn't they just boot him up? I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. The United States is in a steep decline, though it's still the world's largest marketplace for illegal drugs. Cocaine isn't being used as much over here.
Good.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Because we're using meth, so that's probably not good.
Yeah, because we got a bunch of meth heads over here. Cocaine smugglers have developed a booming trade in Australia, particularly in the cities like Sydney, where young and prosperous, fun-loving population. And it isn't just drug addicts. These are the partiers, the elite, the smart that are doing it now.
The smart.
That's kind of a contradiction, isn't it?
Bad word to use.
Smart cocaine addict. Okay.
Are they smoking crack, or is that something we haven't exported to Australia?
They're just still snorting it up. A kilo of cocaine in Brownsville, Texas, sells for $16,000. The same brick goes to $250,000 in Sydney.
Australian dollars, though, or is it our dollars?
No, U.S. dollars. This
really?
Is U.S. dollars.
Why is this so much more expensive?
Duh.
What? Duh. Don't duh me.
Demand, duh. Everybody over there wants it now. So Texas can sell it for $16,000. You can take it over to Sydney and sell that amount for, and that's a kilo, for $250,000. No wonder Latin American cocaine cowboys want in on the action. That's what it's going for over there. Sick. It's really crazy. And that's not all of the hot topics of the world. We have more when we come back.
Okay.
You're with Broadview. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back.
The Buzz.
I have a passion for the environment. That's why I mountain bike. I love being in the woods, on near vertical trails. I relish the challenge when I can appreciate the best nature has to offer. So it was only natural that I would choose a career in the elements where I can make a difference. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. We monitor commercial vessels, making sure our ports and waterways are safe and clean from oil or other hazardous material. We patrol our fisheries and protect marine wildlife and their habitats. With all we do, it's about protecting America. This is a lot like mountain biking. It's always exciting to navigate through the next challenge.
Were you born ready to protect America, our environment, our resources, our people? Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Broadview on 1270 The Buzz, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
Yeah, we were just talking about the big thing going on. The big Mexican cartel has moved now to Australia. A lot of cocaine filtering over there to Sydney. And I was just reading here the typical profile that we were talking about, the Australian cocaine user: young, single, well-educated, and well-paid.
Well.
So they just got too much of everything, huh? They just got to have another thrill. Boy, that's what'll get you in trouble. You know what I mean? So, Australia's the new place.